NPR.
Hey everyone, Cardiff and Stacey here. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. We are nearing the end of a week in which the coronavirus pandemic has changed the way everyone lives in ways that we could not have even imagined just a month ago. And it's become more and more clear, just even in the last few days, that the economy is now experiencing the kind of massive blow that is almost hard to comprehend.
Yeah, really. I mean, there's so much to keep track of, too. It's tough to know really what to focus on. So here's what we've done. Every Friday, until this pandemic ends, or at least until life begins returning to something that looks like normal, Stacey and I will each give you our end-of-the-week indicators, indicators that we think are especially important or interesting, or that has just captured our attention in some way. So, Stacey, would you like to go first?
I would love to go first. So
okay. My
indicator is zero. I bet you can guess what it's from.
I have a feeling I know what it is, yes. But I'm going to let you say it.
So it was at the very, very start of this week. On Sunday, the U.S. Central Bank, also known as the Federal Reserve, cut its benchmark interest rate to almost zero. The reason that they did this was to try to encourage lending in the economy, making it really enticing for people to borrow money right now, kind of keep the economy flowing, keep money running through the economy. But that was just the beginning, really. I mean, that cut to almost 0% kind of kicked off this week of massive action by the U.S. Central Bank. So there were two other major types of actions that the Fed took this week. One was that it started just buying up enormous amounts of bonds, including U.S. Treasury bonds. So U.S. Treasury bonds are kind of one of the pillars of the U.S. economy. The U.S. sells bonds to get money. It's like a little loan to the U.S. government. They're considered super, super, super safe investments, some of the safest investments in the world. Selling bonds is really crucial to the U.S. economy kind of continuing to function. So, you know, the Federal Reserve kind of stepped in and to keep buying those bonds to kind of ensure that everything's flowing.
Yeah, I mean, we all remember the financial crisis of 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And the dynamics of what's happening now are obviously a little bit different, but it seems like one lesson that the central bank definitely has learned was that it has to prevent a financial crisis, you know, to whatever extent it can, because that sort of amplifies the effects of any downturn. And it looks like that's what all these things are meant to do.
Yes, yes. I mean, the Fed also started lending money. Basically, what it does is kind of make sure that companies can borrow money on kind of a day-to-day basis for operating expenses. And again, just kind of keeping things kind of lubricated in the economy so that it's like the engine of the economy doesn't seize up. These are all actions that are very similar to what the Fed did in 2008 during that crisis. But things could still go further. A lot of people are calling on the Fed to do more. In fact, former Fed chairs Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke, they said the Fed should think about buying up U.S. corporate debt. That would be a really big deal. It's basically unprecedented. So the way this would work is that companies have been borrowing a ton of money, kind of unprecedented amounts of money. And now a lot of companies are in a position where they really, really need to borrow money. And they might not have that much savings. But making sure that those companies can access money right now could prevent people from losing their jobs, could kind of encourage companies to keep their employees on.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. And I mean, at this point, it's kind of like economists are saying you got to pull out all the stops. You got to do everything you possibly can, you know. So if it's corporate debt, maybe they should look at doing that.
Some people are also calling for the Fed to help finance municipal bond markets because state and local governments, they're going to struggle throughout all this, too. They've got to fund all these programs as the economy gets worse and as people are out of work. And in fact, the Fed just today started doing some version of that, but could end up doing a lot more.
And so, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's like the Fed is looking at this massive liquidity crisis and saying, we got to do everything we possibly can, you know?
Yeah, and it has the funds to do this because the central bank has the ability to print money, basically, when it needs it. So, I mean, the breadth of the power that the central bank has is pretty enormous.
Yeah, it has a huge ability to put money into the system, basically. It does have some legal restraints. I mean, the Fed can't just do whatever it wants. For some of these programs, the unusual ones, it does have to request permission from the Treasury. But in this case, things are so desperate, the Treasury is granting permission to do these things. Yeah, excellent indicator. You ready for mine?
I want to hear your indicator. Yes, please.
Well, you do have to wait until after the ad break.
No!
Sorry.
Oh.
Support for NPR and the following message come from TransferWise, the smart new way to send and receive money internationally. Join over 6 million customers in 70 countries who are already saving, and try it for free at transferwise.com/NPR or download the app.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Okay, Stacey, are you ready for my indicator?
I'm ready for your indicator.
Okay, here is my indicator. Half of small businesses in the country have 27 or fewer days of a cash buffer to cover their costs, their expenses, if they suddenly stop making money. In other words, if their like income goes to zero, which a lot of small businesses are seeing their incomes go to zero, they have about half of small businesses only have about 27 days in which they can keep covering their costs unless they start cutting those costs or unless they find more money. That data is from a JP Morgan Chase Institute report from a few years ago. And this is what I'm sort of most terrified by. Other than people directly losing their work, I'm so terrified of what's going to happen to small businesses in this country because they're facing such dire circumstances right now.
Yeah, because most businesses here in New York, at least, have had to close entirely. I mean, that's everything from like the dentist's office to hair salons to restaurants. A lot of restaurants have closed.
I'm actually especially worried about restaurants because for them, the number isn't 27 days, it's 16 days. Half of all small business restaurants have 16 or fewer days of a cash buffer. They just have such thin margins. And so I think what this gets across is just how urgently policymakers need to act if they're going to find a way to save these businesses and to prevent them from starting to lay everybody off. Because one of the problems with what happens with when your income dries up is that you can't get credit because who's going to extend your credit if you're not making money? And so to extend that cash buffer, you start laying people off. And that has already started happening in massive quantities. And I think the numbers in the coming weeks are going to really start to reflect that. And you mentioned like hair salons and restaurants in general. You know, small businesses that require a lot of labor, in other words, not the ones that rely on like technology or office equipment or buildings, but the ones that require labor, like restaurants, they tend to have thinner margins and smaller cash buffers than other types of small businesses. And this is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. There are almost 31 million small businesses in the country, and almost half of people in the private sector work for these small businesses. So this is a real problem that the country's facing, and they're facing it right now. There is no waiting on this. The destruction for them is happening right now, and that's why I'm so worried about it.
Well, it also happened all at once. I feel like with the Great Recession, a lot of businesses did struggle and a lot of businesses closed, but it also happened more gradually. I mean, here in a lot of cases, like all these businesses had to shut down at once because of a government order in many cases, or just because there were no customers. So it feels like this kind of economic shock that is hitting all of these places at the same time, which means all of these people could become unemployed at the same time and all of these businesses could go under at the same time.
Yeah, that's a great point. This is all happening at once, which also means that like there's nowhere for these employees to go, the workers who get laid off, because it's everywhere. I am terrified of what's going to happen to small businesses in this country. So, yeah. Well, if anybody has an idea for an indicator that you and I, Stacey, can cover on one of these Friday shows, get in touch with us, indicator@npr.org. We're also on Twitter. Be safe, everybody. Thank you.
If you're looking for more news about coronavirus, NPR has a new daily podcast for just that. It's called Coronavirus Daily, with new episodes every weekday in the late afternoon.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan. It was fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. Patty Hirsch is our editor, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.